Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Alrighty, 7:12 now on this Tuesday morning. Francine, as of the latest advisory, 7 o'clock, still a tropical storm, but expected to intensify to hurricane sometime today. Hurricane warning has been extended from Louisiana, on the Louisiana coast, from Sabine Pass eastward to Grand Isle. Storm surge watch in effect for Lake Maurepas, Lake Pontchartrain, mouth of Mississippi River to Louisiana to the Mississippi-Alabama border. And a tropical storm warning is in effect for east of Grand Isle to the mouth of Pearl River, including metropolitan New Orleans. So you're going to want to take the necessary precautions and be prepared for power outages and those kind of things as we give you everything you need to know here on WWL. And we check in with Lafourche Parish President Archie Chasson. How you doing, Archie?
Good morning, Tommy. Glad to be back on with you, although it's an unfortunate event, right?
Yeah, I was hoping we could talk to you about Port Fouchon or something else and not not this, because we're doing pretty well, right? And I always said hurricane season's kind of like a football season where you can be 8-0 and it doesn't really matter till you get to the playoffs. And, well, here we are with our first big, opponent of the season. Let's talk about preparations in Lafourche and concerns that you have.
Yeah, you know, Tommy, all of our public works crews have been out for the last couple of days just clearing out fall canals, doing maintenance on our pump stations, cleaning trash screens. We got a ton of rain last week, so our pumps ran for a significant portion of the late last week and through the weekend, and they're continuing to draw down water as we prepare for whatever Francine's going to bring us. All of our sandbag locations have been open since yesterday afternoon at the 12 locations. We have 6 field offices that are doing 25 pre-filled bags per elderly disabled resident if you need some pre-filled bags. So you can find all that information on our Facebook page or on our website. We are going to start to call some evacuations this morning for mandatory evacuations for people inside of FEMA units or the state trailers that are still in temporary housing from Hurricane Ida. Those people are mandated to get out by the state and FEMA for a tropical event. You can't stay in them. So we're going to be calling that mandatory evacuation today, as well as a voluntary evacuation for anyone else in a mobile home, low-lying area outside the hurricane protection system. As we kind of look at these wave run-ups and the storm surge models calling for, you know, somewhere upwards of 10 feet on the western side of Lafourche and eastern side of Terrebonne. So with that being said, we are going to open up a shelter at our Lockport Community Center as of 5 o'clock today to take in all those people who are evacuating. So if you're coming to the shelter, just remember you need a couple days' worth of food and water, some bedding, somewhere to lay down. We're going to provide you a safe place that's out of the rain with a generator in case the power goes out. But you got to bring a lot of other stuff with you, your phone cords to charge your phones or your iPads or whatever you're bringing with you as well. So just remember that as you start to leave. So those evacuations in the shelter are all going to kick off at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Let people get home from work, finish their final preparations, if any, get their kids or their grandkids off the bus from school, and then really start to hunker down. We're going to start to feel this thing tonight, according to most of what we're seeing. The good thing about it is it's a very fast-moving storm. So as the weather starts to deteriorate tomorrow morning through midday when it makes landfall, by supper time it ought to be out of here by all indications. So that'll give us a little bit of daylight left to check on things and then work to mitigate any impacts that we see.
For people that just don't feel safe and want to evacuate, would that shelter be open in Lockport as well?
Absolutely. For anybody who's in a vulnerable spot or just doesn't feel safe in their home, especially if they're in a mobile home or a temporary structure, that shelter will be open for them as well. I fully expect some folks from Grand Isle coming up as well that are going to utilize our facility as well, as we typically open it up for those guys as they begin to migrate north.
Well, what is your biggest concern here, Archie? Is it wind? Is it rain? Is it coastal flooding?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. The storm surge models, you know, at at 10 foot tend to worry us a little bit. You know, Morganza, the Gulf, the big hurricane protection system we have, is somewhere between 7 and 11 feet in most areas between us and Terrebonne. So, you know, that 10-foot peak, if we get that high, is very concerning for those low-lying areas outside the hurricane protection system. And then just the wind. The rainfall doesn't seem to be like it's going to be that bad or that much. Again, we have a lot of capacity in our pump system to handle that. So it's really the wind and the coastal flooding. And then depending on how this thing sets up, if the jog continues east, like some of the models are calling, that wraparound and backwater flooding in some of the parts of the Sixth Ward. So, you know, Chag Bay, Shocktail, Bayou Buff, Kramer, those low-lying communities that have some levee protection after Ida, our levee district, did raise some of those levees to 7 or 8 feet. So, you know, those things, watching those models, I think we're looking at somewhere between 2 and 4 on the backside of the system in those areas. So hopefully we'll be okay there, but we're going to have to watch the rainfall and the tides and make sure we're okay.
So flooding on Highway 1 is a concern, right?
Absolutely. Outside the hurricane protection system, we know it's going to go underwater later tonight, very early tomorrow morning, as those tides come up. Look, we saw water on it from just a rain event and that first little hurricane that moved across into Mexico in June. We had to caravan some cars through Highway 1 because the water came up. So if that far south we had some water, I just about guarantee you outside the hurricane protection system, that area from Golden Meadow down toward Leeville is going to have some issues with water.
Define the hurricane protection system for me, if you will, Archie, please.
Yeah, so two distinct systems in Lafourche, right? We have the South Lafourche levee system, which is a contiguous 42 mile ring system with a floodgate in La Rose and the lock in Golden Meadow. And then we have, I don't want to call it a hodgepodge system, but we have a non-contiguous system in North Lafourche that covers the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Parts of Morganza, the Gulf, come in from Terrebonne with a floodgate between Fonachon and Terrebonne and Lafourche. And then we have a lot of backwater protection in some of the other communities. So, you know, it's a very weird system when you look at it from Google Earth. If you look at those satellites that all the weather channels are using, you can see the South Lafourche system from space. North Lafourche is a little bit harder to see in some places because of tree cover and where it's built, but a very strong system. You know, all of it survived Ida. So I'm not really worried about breaches and things like that in this particular event. It's just more if we get some overtopping, depending on how the storm surge sets up.
Do you have a couple more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, good. We'll pick it up when we come back, talking about school closures. And also, I want to compare it to Zeta, because we're hearing from meteorologists that are saying this is looking a lot like Zeta, and we'll talk about the effects that Zeta had on Lafourche Parish. We're talking to Archie Chasson, who's the president of Lafourche Parish. Also touch on Port Fouchon and the activities going on there. If you all have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line. It's Tuesday morning, September 10th, as we watch and wait and see what Francine's going to do. The latest advisory has New Orleans now, the metropolitan area, under a tropical storm warning. It would appear as though there is some intensification and a little bit of a jog to the east. We'll keep you apprised of everything you need to know. 720 traffic now,
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You will. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Lafourche Parish President Archie Chasson, talking about Francine, which is expected to intensify into a Category 1, Category 2. What are you expecting, Archie, a 1 or a 2?
So I think looking at the models that we're seeing from the Weather Service is that it's going to be a two as it approaches the coast, but that it's going to start to fall apart very rapidly. So we're telling everybody just to expect a stronger one into a two, and then watch it decrease rapidly from there. So, you know, they always tell you to prepare for something one above where you are. So we're just gonna hold out for a strong two, and then pray that the models are right and it falls apart as it comes on land.
When it comes to power outages, what would you like the people of Lafourche Parish to be prepared for?
You know, I fully expect some widespread power outages. You know, Entergy came in and so did Sleeca after Hurricane Ida, our two energy providers, and did some resiliency measures, bigger poles, stronger depths, bigger diameter stuff. So we're hoping that it's minimal, and that what does happen is going to come back online very quickly. But, you know, just urging people to remember those generator safety tips as they start to crank up their portable generators, or if they have whole home standby generators. Make sure your carbon monoxide detectors are working in your house. Make sure that if you have a portable generator, it's in a well-ventilated area. You don't try to bring it inside. Believe it or not, we see people still do that. We don't want any sort of fatality to come after a hurricane due to carbon monoxide or a fire.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Paul LaGrange about that when we come back in the next half hour, because, Archie, you know, it's so tragic when people survive the storm and then they get hot, so they go get a generator and they don't read the instructions, plug it in, and then, you know, it's happened where the entire family has died. Let's talk about Zeta, compare and contrast, because I am hearing meteorologists make comparisons to Zeta, which was in October, but what did Zeta do to Lafourche Parish?
You know, it really ran over the southern part of our community, up towards the Lockport area. You know, I think we went 3 or 4 days without power in most spots. Not a whole lot of water impacts. You know, we had those issues south of LA1. But this one took, you know, Zeta took a little bit different of a trajectory. It ran over southern Lafourche and then went over southern Jefferson, Plaquemine, and St. Bernard, and then scooted off to the east. This one's coming a little bit further west of us, which sets us up for a higher storm surge potential and changes some of the metrics that we look at. So, you know, every storm is different. Every event is different. And it's a matter of the track and where it ultimately sets up.
What are they doing?
They're going to be somewhat similar to it.
Tell me about Port Fouchon, what they're doing there.
Yeah, so they went into a recommended evacuation late last night, starting to urge tenants to batten down the hatches there and start to get out. One of the reasons we're calling that evacuation south of the floodgates is to make sure that everybody's out of there for the most part. We do know that there's going to be some people in vessels, some people in shore bases that stayed up to make sure everything stays put. But we wanted to keep as many people out of there through the night shift, through early tomorrow morning as we can. And then again, hopefully this thing's out of here by supper time so that crew change will happen late in the afternoon, and we'll start whatever cleanup there is going south across LA1. Our schools are going to be closed tomorrow and Thursday as well for all the Lafourche Parish Public Schools. And then our court system, our district attorney's office, the clerk of court, are all closing at noon today and will be closed Wednesday and Thursday. And then everything should reopen Friday, depending on impacts and power outages.
Businesses, are you suggesting they close or? If they're not,
yeah, we're asking people to just watch the weather, and if you don't have to be an essential business open on especially tomorrow, that you let your employees stay home, and just, you know, keeping everybody off the roads. Again, going to be a very quick moving storm, but when it is on land, it's going to be, you know, we're going to see every bit of some tropical storm, if not some hurricane force winds over most of the parish. So if you don't have to be open tomorrow, we're recommending that you close.
Thank you, Archie. Any final thoughts?
No, just be safe, and as always, say, Tommy, hug your kids and say a prayer.
Amen. You got that. And look, we're here if ever you need us. Just give us a call. You know that. We'll put you right on.
Thanks, Tommy.
You bet. Archie Chasson, President of Lafourche Parish. When we come back, and you heard Archie mention this, we're going to talk to Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting. Even if you have a generator and you've used it before, it may not be bad just to stay tuned and get a refresher course just to make sure you don't make any mistakes. And if you are a first-time generator user, definitely, please, stay tuned and listen to what Paul LaGrange has to say, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting, because it happens every year, and it's almost like fires when it turns cold or smoke detectors. We know it's going to happen, unfortunately, and you try and do everything you can to prevent it, but it just happens anyway. It is important that you use the generator properly, or you could kill yourself and the entire family. And I'm not being overly dramatic when I say that. Paul LaGrange also has some tips for you on ways to get ready for power outages, because I think we can pretty well plan on that happening as Francine makes its way toward us. We'll also check in with the National Weather Service when we come back. Right now, though, it's time for WWL First News and Ian Ozan. 7:42, 18 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Hannah Lindsay, meteorologist over at the National Weather Service. Good morning, Hannah. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
So I'm looking at the cone of probability here, cone of uncertainty, whatever you call it. I know they say don't get stuck on the center of it, but what is the latest show from the National Hurricane Center, and what areas should really be concerned about? Tropical storm winds, hurricane sustained winds, those kind of things.
Sure. So we didn't really see a huge change in the track with the overnight update from NHC. But locally here, we did upgrade Terrebonne Parish, Lafourche Parish, Assumption Parish, and to a hurricane warning. Mm-hmm. So they were previously under a hurricane watch. They've been upgraded to a warning. And then we also upgraded the other areas that were under a tropical storm watch to a tropical storm warning. So those parishes under that hurricane warning there, you can expect, you know, hurricane force wind speeds are possible, and same thing with the tropical storm warning.
Is this about where it makes landfall or about what happens after it makes landfall?
So, yeah, so that's going to be, you know, right around landfall. And then NHC is expecting it to weaken pretty quickly after landfall. So that's some good news there.
And what about the rate at which it's moving?
So right now it is moving at a forward speed of 5 miles per hour, but NHC is expecting that to increase as it gets closer here.
So time frame for the areas to start experiencing hurricane or tropical storm winds conditions would be what?
Sure. So right now the earliest reasonable onset of tropical storm force winds is 2 a.m. Wednesday along the coast. The most likely time is going to be just after 8 a.m. along the coast.
And then as it moves north for the areas where more people live, you're talking about sometime tomorrow morning around midday and then into Wednesday afternoon?
Yep, so anytime around midday all the way through the late evening is going to be the bulk of the storm.
And by Thursday morning all this is gone?
There might be some lingering rain, but the bulk of the storm should be out of here by sometime in the morning hours on Thursday.
All right. Anything else, Hannah, before we let you go?
I think that's it. We just want to reiterate that everybody have all their preparations completed by late evening tonight.
All right. Thank you, Hannah Lindsay, National Weather Service meteorologist. Paul LaGrange joins us now, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, sir.
Thanks for taking the time with us. You know, we're all about, you know, nobody wants to overhype anything. Nobody wants to get anybody upset over nothing. But one thing that is important is that there will be power outages, and that comes to it brings us to generator usage and safety, especially, I guess, when it comes to portable generators, because those, for the most part, are not hooked up by professionals. Accurate?
Absolutely. And as you and I talk about often when these events happen, how you use your generator is extremely important, not only to you and your family, but also your neighboring homes. So as we're planning where we're going to place our generator for safety, we always need to consider our neighbors just as much as we need to consider ourselves.
And what are the rules of thumb when it comes to generator safety and portable generator usage and the concerns? And I mean, let's do generator 101 if we can. If I go to the big box store or wherever, and I get a hardware store, I get a generator, and I take it home from the box, take me through the steps. What do I need to do?
First of all, when you buy the generator, make sure you also get a carbon monoxide sensor with it that you can use inside your house. The carbon monoxide sensors, sometimes you got to read directions. Sometimes they want you to mount them up high. Sometimes they want you to mount them down low near the floor. So read directions where you place your sensor for your carbon monoxide. Your generator, you want it at least 20 feet away from any windows or openings that may allow carbon monoxide or exhaust. It's the exhaust from the engine into your house or where you're sleeping. And at least 20 feet away. And you want to use a heavy-duty extension cord that's rated for outside. Let me define heavy-duty. a 12 gauge extension cord is what I use, and I plug my appliance directly into the portable generator. I want to make sure that my extension cord length and the size, meaning the gauge of the cord, is the right size rated for the appliance I'm using. So a refrigerator, typically you could use a 12 gauge extension cord. If you have a light gauge, like a 16 or maybe even 14, it's not going to work very well, and you could have some issues with performance. So probably the other safety tip too, Tommy, is that we want to remind folks of is that when your generator needs to be refueled, is that you actually let the engine cool off completely before you put new gasoline into the fuel tank.
When it comes to safe distances and your neighbors and so forth, tell me about the fumes and why it is important that you keep them in the safe distance, Paul. I know you know all of this, but people that are getting generators, they may not.
Oh, absolutely. So the portable generators, the engine combustion and exhaust is different than the larger generators that are permanently mounted at your home or your place of business. And essentially, they both produce carbon monoxide, but with the larger standby permanent generators, they can be located a little bit closer to your home where it's not as much concerns with carbon monoxide. With the portable generators, you have to use at least, it's got to be at least 20 feet away. And then let me go back to, I'm sure you remember this, Tommy, when you and I were on the air shortly after Hurricane Ida, folks were thinking of creative ways of using their generator where it's closer to the home or it's under a carport, or they're going to put it in a vacant room and extend the exhaust out and extend it to the window. Please don't do any of those modifications. These engines are not rated for you to revise or modify the exhaust. Because they don't have catalytic converters, that's the reason why they're more dangerous with carbon monoxide than the main big permanent mounted units. So use it the way it's rated. It's rated to be used outdoors. It's rated to be at least 20 feet away from your house, from any of the windows. If you have a prevailing wind where the wind may be blowing the exhaust from the generator towards your home, please.
7:42, 18 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Hannah Lindsay, meteorologist over at the National Weather Service. Good morning, Hannah. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
So I'm looking at the cone of probability here, cone of uncertainty, whatever you call it. I know they say don't get stuck on the center of it, but what is the latest show from the National Hurricane Center, and what areas should really be concerned about? Tropical storm winds, hurricane sustained winds, those kind of things.
Sure. So we didn't really see a huge change in the track with the overnight update from NHC, but locally here we did upgrade Terrebonne Parish, Lafourche Parish, Assumption Parish, and to a hurricane warning. Mm-hmm. So they were previously under a hurricane watch. They've been upgraded to a warning. And then we also upgraded the other areas that were under a tropical storm watch to a tropical storm warning. So those parishes under that hurricane warning there, you can expect, you know, hurricane force wind speeds are possible, and same thing with the tropical storm warning.
Is this about where it makes landfall or about what happens after it makes landfall?
So, yeah, so that's going to be, you know, right around landfall. And then NHC is expecting it to weaken pretty quickly after landfall, so that's some good news there.
And what about the rate at which it's moving?
So right now it is moving at a forward speed of 5 miles per hour, but NHC is expecting that to increase as it gets closer here.
So time frame for the areas to start experiencing hurricane or tropical storm winds conditions would be what?
Sure. So right now the earliest reasonable onset of tropical storm force winds is 2 a.m. Wednesday along the coast. The most likely time is going to be just after 8 a.m. along the coast.
And then as it moves north for the areas where more people live, you're talking about sometime tomorrow morning around midday and then into Wednesday afternoon?
Yep, so anytime around midday all the way through the late evening is going to be the bulk of the storm.
And by Thursday morning all this is gone?
There might be some lingering rain, but the bulk of the storm should be out of here by sometime yet in the morning hours on Thursday.
All right. Anything else, Hannah, before we let you go?
I think that's it. We just want to reiterate that everybody have all their preparations completed by late evening tonight.
All right. Thank you, Hannah Lindsay, National Weather Service meteorologist. Paul LaGrange joins us now, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, sir.
Thanks for taking the time with us. You know, we're all about, you know, nobody wants to overhype anything. Nobody wants to get anybody upset over nothing. But one thing that is important is that there will be power outages, and that comes to brings us to generator usage and safety, especially, I guess, when it comes to portable generators, because those, for the most part, are not hooked up by professionals. Accurate?
Absolutely. And as you and I talk about often when these events happen, how you use your generator is extremely important, not only to you and your family, but also your neighboring homes. So as we're planning where we're going to place our generator for safety, we always need to consider our neighbors just as much as we need to consider ourselves.
And what are the rules of thumb when it comes to generator safety and portable generator usage and the concerns? And I mean, let's do generator 101 if we can. If I go to the big box store or wherever, and I get a hardware store, I get a generator and I take it home from the box, take me through the steps. What do I need to do?
First of all, when you buy the generator, make sure you also get a carbon monoxide sensor with it that you can use inside your house. The carbon monoxide sensors, sometimes you got the redirection. Sometimes they want you to mount them up high. Sometimes they want you to mount them down low near the floor. So redirections where you place your sensor for your carbon monoxide. Your generator, you want it at least 20 feet away from any windows or openings that may allow carbon monoxide or exhaust. It's the exhaust from the engine into your house or where you're sleeping. And at least 20 feet away. And you want to use a heavy-duty extension cord that's ready for outside. Let me define heavy-duty. A 12-gauge extension cord is what I use. And I plug my appliance directly into the portable generator. So I want to make sure that my extension cord length and the size, meaning the gauge of the cord, is the right size rated for the appliance I'm using. So a refrigerator, typically you could use a 12-gauge extension cord. If you have a light gauge, like a 16 or maybe even a 14, it's not going to work very well, and you're going to have some issues with performance. So probably the other safety tip too, Tommy, is that we want to remind folks of is that when your generator needs to be refueled, is that you actually let the engine cool off completely before you put new gasoline into the fuel tank.
When it comes to safe distances and your neighbors and so forth, tell me about the fumes and why it is important that you keep them in the safe distance, Paul. I know you know all of this, but people that are getting generators, they may not.
Oh, absolutely. So the portable generators, the engine combustion and exhaust is different than the larger generators that are permanently mounted at your home or your place of business. And essentially, they both produce carbon monoxide, but with the larger standby permanent generators, they can be located a little bit closer to your home where it's not as much concerns with carbon monoxide. With the portable generators, you have to use it's got to be at least 20 feet away. And then let me go back to, I'm sure you remember this, Tommy, when you and I were on the air shortly after Hurricane Ida, folks were thinking of creative ways of using their generator where it's closer to the home or it's under a carport, or they're going to put it in a vacant room and extend the exhaust out and extend it to the window. Please don't do any of those modifications. These engines are not rated for you to revise or modify the exhaust. Because they don't have catalytic converters, that's the reason why they're more dangerous with carbon monoxide than the main big permanent mounted units. So use it the way it's rated. It's rated to be used outdoors. It's rated to be at least 20 feet away from your house, from any of the windows. If you have a prevailing wind, where the wind may be blowing the exhaust from the generator towards your home, please make sure you keep all those doors and all those windows closed on that side of the home, as well as even anywhere near it where it could possibly get into your house. But the backup plan really is the carbon monoxide sensor inside the place where you are to make sure that you are absolutely certain you're safe.
Let me take a break, Paul. We'll pick it up. We come back. I'm going to open the text line at 504-260-1870 if anybody's got any questions about generator usage. I also want to talk about fixed generators as well and the ones that have been installed, maintenance, how long they run, et cetera, et cetera. You're talking about a machine here is what it is, an engine that's running. And just like any engine in your car, lawnmower, whatever, it's got to be maintained. The oil's got to be taken care of unless it's natural gas. We'll get into all of that with Paul LaGrange. More when we return, 7:50, 10 till 8, Traffic Now, WWL. 7:55 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting, about generator safety, because I think you can pretty well plan on some power outages tomorrow as Francine makes her way through, and some people are going to be using generators for the first time, and sometimes the worst can happen, and we're trying to avoid that. Paul, a couple of questions. A few of them about generators sitting out in the rain, and do they need to be covered if, when positioned safely and properly outside, does a generator need to be sheltered from rain?
So it actually does. And again, go back to read the manufacturer's directions, exactly make sure how you do that. I can tell you how I do mine. In the past, when I'm in a jam, I've taken a larger piece of plywood that's a few feet larger than the footprint of the generator, and I've strapped it down to the frame. What I would, under normal circumstances, I would take one of these, you've seen these 10-foot by 10-foot tents that people set up for tailgating where it's just the cover. But the legs are adjustable up and down. I would use that, strap it down to the ground, and I use it at the lower level so it's not so high where the wind doesn't drive that rain to that generator. That seems to work out pretty good for most circumstances. The biggest risk is to make sure you have it strapped down to the ground with, and typically if you've ever had to secure a trampoline or secure a swing set to the ground, you know, the screw rod you put down in the ground with a strap that goes over it, that seems to work out fairly well. The other part that I want to talk about extension cords as well, Tom, because I used my extension cords while I was making repairs to my house for Hurricane Ida. And whenever you use the extension cords, I mean, you're dragging the cord, it catches a corner, it gets something sharp, there could be nicks in it. So yesterday I actually went out and bought a brand new extension cord for the use of the generator that go from the generator to my refrigerator, because I didn't want to take the chance of a nick cord getting wet or shocking or, you know, have an issue of it, you know, delivering safe power. And then probably the other thing that goes along with extension cords and generators is there are some generators, some portable generators that need a grounding rod. Some do and some don't. And if you're connecting your portable generator to a house or to a camper, like an RV or something like that, you have to have a grounding rod. But if it's going with an extension cord directly from the generator to an appliance, if you have a newer generator, there's a chance you don't have to use a grounding rod. But again, you have to read the directions. Some of the new generators, the motor is grounded to the metal frame of the generator, so therefore a grounding rod's not necessary with an extension cord going directly to the appliance. But if it's an older generator, it may need a grounding rod. So you got, again, read the directions. If you can't find the directions, go online with your model number to your manufacturer. There's lots of videos on how to do these things online.
So generally speaking, a 12-gauge extension cord has to be about how long?
I bought a 100-foot one because I didn't know exactly where I was going to place my generator with respect to, because I have more than one refrigerator. I go from one refrigerator to the other. I'll run one for like 5 or 6 hours and move the other for 5 or 6 hours later.
And people
so
need to.
So I bought at least a 100-foot cord.
That's not cheap.
No, sir, it's not.
Yeah, but people need to be aware of that, and that you can't, there's no substitute. It deals with physics and amperage and everything else, and you just need the 12-gauge cord. And also, Paul, quickly, I guess, get some oil in case you have to change the oil in it.
You will change the oil, read the directions, probably engine use once every 16 to 24 hours. You have to change the oil. Let that engine cool before you change the oil, and be safe, guys.
Keep in mind, there's a lot more than just plugging it in. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the time, the information. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish Council member, get the latest on preparations for Francine when we come back here on WWL. 7:55 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting, about generator safety, because I think you can pretty well plan on some power outages tomorrow as Francine makes her way through, and some people are going to be using generators for the first time, and sometimes the worst can happen, and we're trying to avoid that. Paul, a couple of questions. A few of them about generators sitting out in the rain, and do they need to be covered if, when positioned safely and properly outside, does a generator need to be sheltered from rain?
So it actually does. And again, go back to read the manufacturer's directions, exactly make sure how you do that. I can tell you how I do mine. In the past, when I'm in a jam, I've taken a larger piece of plywood that's a few feet larger than the footprint of the generator, and I've strapped it down to the frame. What I would, under normal circumstances, I would take one of these, you've seen these 10-foot by 10-foot tents that people set up for tailgating where it's just the cover. Mm-hmm. But the legs are adjustable up and down. I would use that, strap it down to the ground, and I use it at the lower level so it's not so high where the wind doesn't drive that rain to that generator. That seems to work out pretty good for most circumstances. The biggest risk is to make sure you have it strapped down to the ground with and typically if you've ever had to secure a trampoline or secure a swing set to the ground, you know, the screw rod you put down in the ground, mm-hmm. with a strap that goes over it, that seems to work out fairly well. The other part that I want to talk about extension cords well, Tom, because I used my extension cords while I was making repairs to my house for Hurricane Ida. And whenever you use the extension cords, I mean, you drag the cord, it catches a corner, it gets something sharp. There could be nicks in it. So, yes, they actually went out and bought a brand new extension cord for the use of the generator to go from the generator to my refrigerator, because I didn't want to take the chance of a nick cord getting wet or shocking. Or, you know, have an issue of it, you know, delivering safe power. And then probably the other thing that goes along with extension cords and generators is there are some generators, some portable generators, that need a grounding rod. Some do and some don't. And if you're connecting your portable generator to a house or to a camper, like an RV or something like that, you have to have a grounding rod. But if it's going with an extension cord directly from the generator to an appliance, if you have a newer generator, there's a chance you don't have to use a grounding rod. But again, you have to read the directions. Some of the new generators, the motor is grounded to the metal frame of the generator, so therefore a grounding rod is not necessary with an extension cord going directly to the appliance. But if it's an older generator, it may need a grounding rod. So you got, again, read the directions. If you can't find the directions, go online with your model number to your manufacturer. There's lots of videos on how to do these things online.
So generally speaking, a 12-gauge extension cord has to be about how long?
I bought a 100-foot one because I didn't know exactly where I was going to place my generator with respect to, because I have more than one refrigerator. I go from one refrigerator to the other. I'll run one for like 5 or 6 hours to move the other for 5 or 6 hours later.
And people
so
need to.
So I bought at least a 100-foot cord.
That's not cheap.
No, sir, it's not.
Yeah, but people need to be aware of that, and that you can't, there's no substitute. It deals with physics and amperage and everything else, and you just need the 12-gauge cord. And also, Paul, quickly, I guess, get some oil in case you have to change the oil in it.
You will change the oil, read the directions, probably engine use once every 16 to 24 hours. You have to change the oil. Let that engine cool before you change the oil, and be safe, guys.
Keep in mind, there's a lot more than just plugging it in. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the time, the information. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish Council member, get the latest on preparations for Francine when we come back here on WWL.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? you might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.